In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We celebrate the after feast of the exaltation of the cross today, brothers and sisters. So this feast that began on September 14th, we continue to celebrate this week, this Sunday in particular, as the Sunday after the feast. And we're given readings, once again, that have to do with the theme of the cross. And the passage that we just heard from St. Mark's Gospel follows right after an exchange between the Lord and the Apostle Peter, where the Lord is describing the sufferings that he will have to go through. And St. Peter is saying to him, "No, may it not be so. May it never be so." And we could say that as a human being, as someone who loved the Lord, and who, we could say, depended on the Lord and looked to him as his leader, as his guide, of course, St. Peter had inside of him a sense of pity for the Lord and not wanting to see him suffer, but also pity for himself and not wanting to lose him. You see? And perhaps he recognized that if our Messiah is a suffering Messiah, and the way that he goes is the way of the cross, then we'll have to follow him also. So there certainly were things inside of St. Peter that caused him not to want the Lord to have to go this way, or to want there to be some other way, right? But the Lord, of course, said to him some very strong words. He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Very strong words. "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." In other words, in that moment, Peter, in his weakness, was playing the part of Satan and of tempting the Lord not to follow that path that he came to follow for our salvation. Tempting him, if it were possible, to renounce and to reject the way of the cross. Of course, we know that he wouldn't. He never would. This is what he came for. This was his desire, his will, both as God and as man, to die on the cross for us. But he spoke these strong words to Peter to drive home the point, both for him and for us, that it's the way of the cross that is the way of our salvation. And anything that would obstruct that way, even though it might seem like a mercy, it might seem like a kindness, you know, for the Lord not to have to go die on the cross. But if he hadn't died on the cross, then we wouldn't be saved. So it's not a kindness, it's not a mercy to try to prevent the cross. And this is true not only for Christ, but it's true for us as well, brothers and sisters. And we come back to this theme again and again and again, that the Lord, in his love for us, allows us to carry crosses. Not only does he allow it, he calls us to it. He gives us a cross. He commands us to bear our cross. Or at least, he says to us, "If you would be my disciple, if you would follow after me, then this is what you must do." And you know, Saint Theophylact, who comments on this, he puts these two things together. He says, look, what the Lord says when he tells his disciples, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," this follows right after that exchange with Saint Peter for a reason. Because these things are connected. The Lord's willingness to go to his cross to save us and our willingness to bear our cross. But he also says, God never coerces us. So he actually puts it, not as a command, but if you wish to come after me, if you wish to follow me, if you wish to be my disciple, if you wish to be a Christian, he's not forcing us. But if that's what we wish, then this is what must necessarily follow. We must take up our cross and follow him. But not just take up our cross. He says, you must deny yourself. Let him deny himself, whoever desires to come after me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to deny oneself? Again, Saint Theophylact says, if we deny a person, then it's as if we have no pity for that person, you know? Like you see somebody that you know, that you've known for a long time, and now they're destitute, they've lost everything, and they're on the street, and they see you and they say, please, could you help me? And you pretend like you don't know them. Oh, I've never seen you before. This is what he says. It's like you have no pity for that person when you deny someone. This is likewise, if we deny ourselves, then we have no self-pity. You see? We give up self-pity. And St. Theophan the Recluse says, the thing that undermines our spiritual life the most is self-pity. That's exactly what it is. We see that things are hard, we don't like it, and we throw ourselves a pity party. And this leads to a downward spiral. Not to be inspired to rise to the occasion, to pick up our cross and to follow Christ, that can't happen with self-pity. If there's self-pity there, then it's the opposite. We don't rise to the occasion. We wilt before the occasion. We give up before we've even begun. We give in to the temptations of the evil one. We reject the cross. So we must watch out for this very dangerous passion of self-pity. If you think about it, brothers and sisters, if we go back again, as is, you know, important to do often, go back to the beginning, you know, at least in our minds, all the way to the beginning. The creation, and Adam and Eve in the garden, and Eve somehow separated from her husband, off on her own, and tempted by the serpent. And what is it that the serpent appeals to in her? There are different ways that we can think about this, but at least one facet of it that we can consider is that it's precisely self-pity that he appeals to her, in her. You see? You have the potential to be godlike. Yeah, Satan. Yes, serpent. That's because God created us that way, right? But this is the lie. You have the potential to be godlike. But he insinuates that God doesn't want her to reach that potential. You could, but he's forbidden you to eat the fruit which will make that possible for you. Are you going to let yourself just let life pass you by? You know? Are you going to allow that to happen? You're just not, you need to rise up and seize the day. What are you going to do, Eve? You're just going to be a doormat? Just listen to God all the time? Just be obedient to your husband all the time? Then everything will pass you by and you'll never be godlike. What an ironic and terrible lie. Because it's exactly the opposite that's the case. It's by trusting the Lord, not believing that lie of Satan, you know, that if only, you know, and not allowing that self-pity to come in and to start to look at ourselves and think of ourselves and to think, oh yeah, this isn't fair. I'm being done wrong. I'm being passed by. I'm being looked over. God, it's like, God doesn't see me. He's forgotten me or something like that. And so we give in to all of this self-pity. So this goes all the way back to the beginning, and it's been with us ever since, brothers and sisters. But we have to resist it. We have to fight against it. We have to say no to it. No. No, I will not give in to self-pity. Because the God of glory not only has not forgotten me, but he numbers all the hairs of my head. He sees every tear that falls from my eyes. He hears every sigh. He knows every joy. He knows every sorrow. He cares for me. Cast your care upon the Lord and he will nourish you. He will sustain you because he cares for you. This is the God that we believe in. This is the God that we know exists. The true God, not the lie of Satan. The one before whom Self-pity is completely unfitting. It's completely unnecessary because he has mercy on us. You see, that's a million times. That's infinitely greater than self-pity, is God's mercy. So let's seek that instead. There's a wonderful saint who's commemorated tomorrow on September 20th. Actually, it's a saint with his family. They're all commemorated as saints. And that's Saint Eustathios. The English version of that name is Eustace, but Eustathios and his family, Saints Theopista, Theopistos, and Agapios, his wife and his two sons. Well, here's the story. Eustathios was a soldier, and not just a soldier, he was a commander. And as a commander, he was victorious in many battles. He was very successful. And he did well in life, you know. He became wealthy and so on. And he had a beautiful family, beautiful wife and sons. So he was blessed in so many ways. But he was a pagan. And this was in the beginning of the 100s, the beginning of the 2nd century, during the reign of Trajan. And so this was a time when Christians were persecuted, but many of the people in the Roman Empire, they hadn't really met Christ yet. They didn't know about Christianity. And so they were pagans. So this was what this commander was. He was a pagan. But one day he went hunting. And we should mention that although he was a pagan, he had great love for people. And he would do acts of kindness to people all the time. And he followed his conscience. He was very conscientious. So this one day he was hunting, and he spotted a stag. And he started chasing after the stag, you know, trying to catch up with it, trying to slay it with his arrow. And finally the stag stopped and turned around and looked at him. And he was amazed because when he looked at the stag, he saw between its antlers the shape of a cross shining as bright as the sun. And on that cross, he had a vision of Christ. Christ crucified on the cross and speaking to him. And he said to him, "My son, I see you and I know you. And I've seen the good things that you've done. And you've done those things unto me unwittingly. Those things that you've done sacrificially to help others, you've done that to me unwittingly. And I receive those things." But he said, "I died on this cross for you. And I want you to follow me. I want you to give up your pagan life and come follow me." And so the Lord revealed himself to Saint Eustathios, kind of like he revealed himself to Saint Paul. And so he went and he was baptized, and his family, they were baptized, and they took Christian names and so on. But after that, we can't end the story there and say, and then they lived happily ever after. They had to bear crosses. They became disciples of the Lord, and that meant they had crosses to bear. So after their baptism and they began to live this Christian life as disciples of the Lord, and really their hearts were transformed, they were greatly blessed. But then very painful, difficult things began to happen. The Lord began to give them crosses. First of all, they lost everything that they owned, and they ended up destitute. Then, by strange circumstances, strange occurrences, Eustathios and his wife Theopista were separated, and then he was separated from his sons, and so they were all split up. His wife was kidnapped, actually, and the sons were carried off by wild beasts, and he thought for sure they were dead, and that was it. But God in his providence kept them alive, amazingly. And you could say, or you could understand how Saint Eustathios at that point, once he had lost everything, including his wife, including his beloved sons, you could understand how he would just despair. I think that God had abandoned him. And like Job was tempted to do, to curse God and die. But he didn't do that. Rather, like Job, he remained faithful in his heart to God. He said, "This is a cross sent to me by the Lord, who loves me, who died on the cross for me. And now what I need to do is to join my cross to his cross, to keep my eyes steadfastly on him, to humbly bow before him and say, 'Lord, have mercy.' To say, 'This is for my salvation. This is to cleanse me of my sins.' And through it, I believe that I will be saved, and I believe that the Lord will also have mercy on my wife and my sons and on everyone." And so this is what St. Eustathius did. He trusted the Lord. Now many years went by with St. Eustathius remaining steadfast in his faith in Christ. 15 years went by. And now there was another war, a time of war. There were barbarian invaders coming into the Roman Empire. And the emperor looked for a general who could lead his army, and he couldn't find anyone competent. But he remembered Eustathius. And so he said to his people, his messengers, "I want you to go and find General Placidus," was his name, his pagan name. And they went out and they found him. And so he came before the emperor, and he was very much changed. He had aged, it says, and you know, he was kind of unkempt and so on. But the emperor knew that he was still a capable man. And so he said, "I'm willing to do this. I'll lead the army." And he went, and he led them into victory against the barbarians. When he returned, miraculously, his wife was restored to him. They were reunited, and they were reunited with his sons. So all four of them were back together. But their time of rejoicing was short, because the emperor then, and now there was a new emperor, because in the meantime, Trajan had died, and now it was Hadrian. And so he appreciated that this general had won the victory, but he didn't appreciate his Christian faith. And so he called the general to lead everyone in sacrifice to the pagan gods, to the idols. And he said, "I can't do that." "Why can't you?" "Because I'm a Christian." And he said, "But these idols made us victorious over our enemies." He said, "No, Christ gave us the victory. It wasn't the idols." So he renounced the idols and he confessed his faith in Christ. And so he was put to torture and to death, together with his wife and his sons. And so they bore not only the crosses of going through all of the hardship that they endured during their life, but in the end, they bore martyrdom. But they didn't give in to self-pity, no. Because they knew, they could see the Lord before them. Just as the Lord had appeared to Eustathius, they could see the Lord before them, calling them to come to him, calling them to glory, calling them to everlasting life. So what would there be to pity themselves for? They're being called to the kingdom. They're being called to glory. And we too, brothers and sisters, we should not pity ourselves because we're being called to glory. And the Lord says, after speaking to his disciples about denying themselves and taking up their cross and following him, he says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." In other words, if we give in to self-pity, then we won't be able to receive God's pity, as it were, his mercy. It's either or. Either we give ourselves over to self-pity, and then the Lord says, "Okay, you have mercy on yourself then, if that's what you choose." Or we say, "No, Lord, I want your mercy. I don't want any other mercy." And then he says this, "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." And this is the word of hope for us. that though we will have to bear the cross, and though the cross will mean a death for us, after the death follows the resurrection. After the death, we will partake of glory. And as a sign, he says, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of heaven present with power. And what is he referring to? Right after this, he takes Peter, James, and John. Remember Peter, who he just told him, "Get behind me, Satan." Well, he's always showing him mercy. So he takes Peter, James, and John and takes them up on Mount Tabor. And they behold the Lord shining in glory. So even before the cross, they know what glory exists. They know what they have to look forward to so that they don't despair, they don't lose hope. So let's not give in to self-pity. It's as if a caterpillar were in its cocoon, its chrysalis, and, you know, sort of like in a state of goop, and it started to pity itself and say, you know, this is what a pathetic life I have here in this cocoon. I'm just like goop, you know? Nobody cares about me. I'm completely forgotten, you know, and here I am, and what a terrible state I'm in. I'm hidden, I'm, you know, in darkness. No. But you're about to become a butterfly. The resurrection is about to happen. Any minute now, the Lord will come again. Any time now, His glory will be manifested, will be revealed to us. And that will be eternal. And it will be wonderful beyond our imagination, beyond our wildest dreams. So may we keep our eyes fixed on our Lord Jesus Christ, upon His cross, as we practice self-denial and we set aside self-pity and we take up our cross and we follow Christ, following Him all the way to the glory of His eternal kingdom. And there may we glorify together with all the saints our true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of